America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, the Falcons are winning games they should. And you should be a believer in what you're seeing. This is not an illusion. This is not some fugazi. This is real. And what we're telling you is we're a contender in the NFC. After beating the Cowboys yesterday, Mike Bell, Kirk Cousins was great. You'll hear from him coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? Caught a touchdown along with Drake and Ray-Ray McCloud. But Cousins, 19-24, 222, Mike, just efficient. Three touchdowns, didn't turn it over. Bijan, 145 yards from scrimmage. You start adding all of this up and you say, okay, sounds like the Cowboys, you know, weren't really able to do anything. And defensively, guys, we even got sacks yesterday, Mike.
Yeah, man, two in a row, by the way, which, I mean, I actually tweeted out, look at our Atlanta sack exchange, because it was something we just don't get to see much of. And look, Ebba Caney's a guy that we ask Coach about almost every week. It'll be up there this Wednesday to talk to Coach Raheem Morris. You'll hear him coming up. But this is what they've said. Jimmy Lake and them said, look, we're getting close. And look, you could argue that the Cowboys, although they did get a couple of big runs, you know, again, no Ezekiel Elliott, and they kind of doing it by committee, but they did have some nice runs. We did have a more one-dimensional team to get after Dak, but they got it. They got the job done.
They got the job done.
And knocked him out of the game.
And listen, Caden Ellis, you're going to hear him. He's part of the show tonight with the coaches show at 6 o'clock. He'll be the player segment. He had a monster game, man. 13 tackles, 8 solos, 2 tackles for loss. It felt like he was all over the field, and he also got a sack. So we had 3 on the day, and all of our concerns about heading into this game with the Cowboys, who we told you last week, it's a bad team. They were coming in here, they had a lot of issues, and that got worse because Dak Prescott now is going to miss several weeks, according to the reports out of Dallas today. Mike, he had an MRI on that hamstring. He left the game. Cooper Rush came in. But what about our injuries? Because that's what we're concerned about.
Yeah, according to Coach, talking with the media earlier today, it looks like everybody is day-to-day. Now, you don't get the official injury report designations, but it was an MRI on Grady's Achilles, and it's always worrisome when a guy comes off a knee injury, Carl, and you're worried about an Achilles. But Grady said he's day-to-day. Talked with D-Led, and Mark Raimondi had that as well from ESPN. It looks like it's also a hip pointer, which may keep him out, but they're saying it's still day-to-day, so they're not ruling him out yet. We'll have to wait to get, is he going to be questionable? Talking about Drake London, who made that amazing up-in-the-air touchdown catch, but apparently did hurt his hip.
Our poll question today is simple. What's the ceiling for this team? And we've asked you this question at Dukes and Bell 929. Lots of you have responded. I retweeted it, put them up, see Dukes and Mike Bell, ATL, because we want to know how you're feeling about this team. Mm-hmm. And we said, what's the ceiling? Win the NFC South, win one playoff game, win the NFC Championship game, or get to the Super Bowl. if you're saying right now at 6-3, like, guys, all of those things are in front of us, and all of those things are very possible. The winning of the NFC South, I think, is a done deal. That's just where I'm at. We got a game against the Saints next week. If you're just joining us, the Saints have fired their head coach today, Dennis Allen. We have one left at the end of the season against the Carolina Panthers. We're undefeated in the division, even if we were to fall to the Saints. And I don't want that to happen, nor do I expect it. Mike, we're still in the driver's seat. So Tampa tonight is playing Kansas City. If they lose, we're literally two games up on Tampa Bay.
Yeah, we got a bunch of games in hand with our biggest, arguably biggest competition, because you just laid out how the Saints are kind of going the other way. After that amazing, those first two games, looked like it was going to be the greatest show on turf. Lose seven in a row. Darren Rizzi, by the way, their special teams coach, takes over as the interim. You're not worried about a trap game with the Saints, just because sometimes guys... Now, I don't know this for a fact. I just got we have a couple of Saints friends who felt that the team had really tuned out Dennis Allen and didn't like him. And I know the fan base didn't like him. Wanted him gone after last season.
They did. It's not that I don't believe, because, you know, our listeners are like, Dukes, man, Bell is right. This is a trap game. Guys, it's not a trap game if you're talking about it being a trap game. A trap game is a game in which you don't talk about it being a trap game and don't acknowledge that it could be a trap game. You don't think the Falcons are going to realize they fired their head coach, they're in disarray, the quarterback's arguing with the former wide receiver? Like, yeah, we understand what we're getting into. My issue is, if you are as good as you say you are and as good as we think you are, you handle business again, just like you did with the Cowboys. Bad team coming in, beat them. Bad team going on the road, beat them. I'm not telling you they're not acknowledging that this is a trap game, because New Orleans, and by the way, you know this, rivalry game, Mike, they're gonna come. Who the hell wants to lose seven in a row? We've been there. We know what that feels like. Nobody wants to go through that. So they're going to give us everything they've got.
Right. Mentioned earlier a guy that used to kill us, Cam Jordan. He's got no sacks on the season. So it's almost like we're seeing. I don't know if it's the same for Judon. I know you challenged Judon last week. We did get some extra sauce from the edge rushers and certainly from the interior linemen. But Judon's got to be better. A lot of guys keep coming up to us on the text line today, because tomorrow is the deadline. It's election day and it's the trade deadline for the NFL. Will we consummate a trade, and how high are we willing to go? Are the Browns now, after getting a nice one-day lift from Jameis, right back to reality this week, are they going to move Myles Garrett, or is it just going to be other people? Can you get Ojulari in here, who's young, and I'd like to see him in a Falcon uniform? And how high, what are you willing to prepare? Because do you look and say, if I get an edge rusher, because we got athletic guys in this conference, Jalen Hurts.
We do.
And you know all the dual threats, all the guys can move around, not to mention the guys that you might see in the AFC. Let's not get ahead of the Super Bowl yet. But do you want to see us? Would you be willing to go as high as a second-round pick?
Depending on the level of talent and the age. I don't want to do that, Mike, for a 31 or 32-year-old right. guy that's going to come in here and be good maybe for half a season or a year.
Right.
I need to have a guy that I can grow with, and maybe he turns into that player even if he doesn't exceed expectations this year. If you're telling me we're just going to get another rotational player, well, then that better be a fifth or a sixth round pick. If you're telling me we're going to get a game changer, then I'm willing to go higher, Mike. And that's the debate right now. I will tell Falcon fans this. They're working the phones. They're trying to figure this out. It doesn't mean they're going to make a deal, because all of this has to do with, one, does the other team want to do a deal, and what are they looking for, and are we willing to give that? And how does it change the team as far as how soon this guy can come in and make a difference?
Right.
That's the other part of this. It's like we feel like, you know, you make a trade, it's on Madden, and all of a sudden you insert him into the lineup, and now he's making plays. It doesn't necessarily happen that way in the National Football League.
Apparently, according to Tom Pelissero, is it Pelissero's got this, saying that the Browns are not going to trade Myles Garrett. So they're gonna,
I think they'd be dumb to do that.
I mean, like one of the generational defensive players, but they are willing to trade Za'Darius Smith, and at least the going rate was on Friday's show was a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
And so who comes? Now, who was it? Remember, was it Sweat went to the Bears because they had a sweeter offer than we did at the time?
Yep. Yeah, and we wanted Sweat. Ojulari, by the way, with the Giants, is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. It makes sense for them to try to move on and get something for him, which is why you keep hearing his name. Let's hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, as we are in the Falcon Report. Guys, this hour, by the way, is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's Monday, where B-dubs is football. Here is Cousins with Dave Archer.
Kirk, for me, watching the game, it just looked like a workmanlike performance. You went out, and you and I were talking just before you came on. There was some things probably, and maybe in every game, but there were some things left out there. But just a solid performance on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, there was a solid nature to the game. It was work.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like I went in at halftime and I said, this feels like a game we have to grind out and just one play at a time earn our way. Was pleased with, you know, much of what we did today, but would have loved to pull away late more than we did.
The evolution of both the pass game and the run game and the way they are blending to one, with one another, you like the direction that's going?
I do. I thought our run game was really positive today. I think the challenge is any negative runs that kind of set us back. If we can avoid those negative runs and just kind of stay in positive gains, it would really help. You know, Dallas made us earn it. And you know, it was, like you said, workmanlike. That's kind of how it felt.
Did they show something or try to maybe change their stripes a little bit? A lot of aggressiveness, a lot of tight coverage trying to make your guys win?
Yeah, it definitely was tight coverage, and they challenged us in that aspect. Last week against San Francisco, they played some previously unscouted looks, and then I think they did that a little bit again today. I told Coach Zimmer after the game, I just thought he did a nice job of kind of keeping us on our toes and having to keep seeing what they were doing, because it wasn't a – it wasn't an easy look, plug and play each time. It was kind of a constant changeup.
If there is such a thing, kind of in the dog days of the season now, mid-season now, trying to keep your stride or maybe extend your stride, what's your message to the guy that's been around this game for a while and been in these situations before? Now you got a divisional game coming up next week.
Yeah, I think mature football teams just find a way to keep standing up, keep coming back, keep stacking strong performances. They don't ride the roller coaster. You know, we got to, learn from this game and just come back ready to go on the road against a team that's ascending. And so, will be a good challenge for us.
All right, last thing for you. Our Solomon Brothers player of the game was Darnell Mooney today. 5 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. And Darnell's made a bunch of plays for you already this year. What is it about him that you like so much about getting him the ball?
Yeah, he's got great movement skills. He's a total pro, as professional of a receiver as I've been around.
Wow.
Just handles himself really well. He's very aware, and he's really good movement skills. He's a tough cover.
All right, man. 6-3. Good win.
Yep. Keep building.
Yeah, man. We're watching some of the highlights right now on ESPN and from NFL Network. The play where you got Diggs all confused, and you could tell they really are. By the way, we got to burn timeouts on offense. We had this thing totally discombobulated, but that throw to Mooney, that was a beautiful touchdown. And again, the Drake London throw was something to see.
It really was. Drake went up and grabbed it. And speaking of Mooney, what's up, Darnell? Here he is with Dave Archer after the game.
Now joined by my Solomon Brothers player of the game, or our Solomon Brothers player of the game, Darnell Mooney. 5 grabs, 88 yards, touchdown. Can you tell me about just the rapport between you and Kirk? It just seems to get better and better each and every week.
I mean, we're just going out there doing what we do in practice and, you know, just trying to stay consistent. There's some things out there that we definitely got to get better at. We had some missed ops out there that we got to take advantage of, but it got somewhat of the job done today. So,
well, the play that there was a lot of good plays that you made today, and the timing between you two is phenomenal. But the one that I think got everybody kind of up in their seats is when you caught that little one in the right flat. That were you thinking about going yard?
That was gonna be the first time everybody seen me run really fast, but I got hit in an area that nobody wants to get hit. So. That was going to be the first time everybody seen me run really, really fast. So,
all right, what's the mentality of this team, Darnell? Because this felt like a very workmanlike opportunity. You guys went out, you took care of business in the week leading up to in the practices, and then went out and kind of performed that well.
I think the Seahawks game was an eye-opener of just, you know, we understand that we can, you know, win games and we trust in ourselves, but just don't come out flat and have energy, have our own energy. And we didn't have any energy that game. And this time we brought our own energy, and we were ready to, you know, take on the challenge.
Salton Brothers player of the game, Darnell Mooney, just keeps making plays. 5 for 88 today and a touchdown. There's a lot more to come out of this guy. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
When we signed this guy, and I was going, we got to spend this money on edge rush. And you were like, chill. This guy's going to be something special. And I was like, Darnell, who? And that's why we started, what's up, Darnell?
What's up,
but
Darnell?
Yeah, he's been amazing. And he'll have to be if Drake London is really banged up. They'll move. Chris, who's going to come up from the – is it Washington would come up from the practice
Casey.
Squad? Yeah, that would be the next – if they need somebody. If we don't know, Drake London may be fine. Right now he's dealing with a hip pointer. But certainly Mooney and Ray-Ray, the way that play developed, and Ray-Ray going past the defense, sliding out, and then Cousins hitting with a beautiful touchdown as well.
All right, guys, go hit our poll question up. Dukes and Bell 929. We're coming back. Strong arm story of the day is next. You know, there's a couple of stories coming off a big weekend here in the A. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Obviously, the Falcons beat the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Hey, Atlanta United also won, and so did the Dogs. But, Mike, we have to mention Atlanta United because they remain in the playoffs.
Yeah, man, they kept it going. And if you didn't see the story, it was pretty amazing. With about a minute left, Zonde Silva, I mean, with as Conte would say, a galazzo!
It was
bananas in stoppage time. 68,000. Now, we've talked a lot about some fans and the interest kind of waning at times because United has been, well, all over the place and moving the roster around. But, you know, Lionel Messi and coming to town is one of the biggest crowds in MLS playoff history, and they got the win to extend the series against Miami. So it was a big moment, and it kind of felt like the old days that you and I always harkened back to of 2018 and 19.
The match, by the way, the last of this three-game match is going to be Saturday, and
right.
You'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game's at 6. I believe it's at 6. I'll have to double check, but it is going to be on Saturday. And by the way, man, congratulations. Look, I don't think anybody expected us to be at this point. Like, they thought this thing might be over Saturday, and to extend this series is great. I'd love to get the upset, Mike. This would be a huge, by the way, monumental upset if they're able to win on Saturday.
I mean, the last thing MLS wants is Lionel Messi and all those Barcelona players knocked out of the playoffs. So this, I'm not saying this would be like the soccer equivalent of USA versus Russia in 80, but it'd be pretty darn close, man.
It would be. Hey, also, we talked a lot about the Falcons, and we'll continue that throughout the course of the week. We'll turn the page when it's accordingly, and that is on Wednesday when we get up there to talk to coach and company about the Saints. Saints have a lot of stuff going on, and it's not our problem. Just like with the Cowboys, a lot of stuff that they came to town with weren't our problems. We just didn't need it to affect us. But you guys saw it. That's an undisciplined football team. 9 penalties, mistakes coaching-wise. Mm. They just don't have the personnel right now. And we handled business. For me, this was like a double win because, Mike, it's the Cowboys, and then on top of that, for us to win at home, that's something else. We needed to build some momentum at home.
Right on. That Seattle game is just, we'll chalk it off to being one of those flat-type deals. I'm still worried about a bit of a trap down there in New Orleans this weekend with the coach getting fired and the energy changing down there in New Orleans. But this was great, and the crowd, you knew there was going to be 15, 20,000, however many Cowboy fans got in there, but you shut them up, and the crowd was fantastic. Kirk Cousins was clean, 19-24. Yeah, he did have a fumble, had 2 fumbles, 1 we lost. One of those, by the way, you and I were talking off the air. You know, Pitts, you got to take the good with the bad. Pitts missed basically chipping an edge rusher. I think it was Dexter Lawrence,
It was.
He came in and blew things up. That's part of his job. Only 1 target for Kyle Pitts, but that just shows you how many weapons we've got on this team. We didn't really miss them.
No, we didn't. In this particular game, we didn't. And, you know, again, Cousins did spread the ball around. Now, he didn't throw it 30 times, but we didn't need to. Hey, as we've been talking about college football, and I got to hit on the Dogs again. They beat Florida. We had a great conversation with Connor Riley. It's online at odyssey.com if you missed it. And the question right now, at least for this show, and for many of you out there who are Dog fans, is can you win a national championship with Carson Beck under center? Now, All the callers that called in last hour said, yes, Dukes and Bell, we can. But there's a caveat. We've got to play excellent defense and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And here's the reason why we're asking you this question. This is, again, another game in which he threw multiple interceptions. He did not take care of the football. Now, was Georgia able to overcome it? Yes. Were they able to overcome it at Texas? Yes. But, guys, you're living dangerously. And the part of this is, okay, at what point does this come back to bite you? It seems like he plays this way, Mike, and then he calms down. And he gets better as the game goes on. And then late in the game, he makes plays. And Kirby talked about that. But, guys, right now, you have five teams that were at least ranked or maybe in a better position or at least considered to be on par with Georgia that lost. Penn State loses at home. Iowa State, Mike, we talked a lot about them. They lost. Clemson lost, right? You had beaten Clemson, but they had made this immaculate turnaround since losing to Georgia. A&M loses. They were the only undefeated team in the South.
Oh, by the way,
SEC.
We didn't even mention it. Hats off to Shane Beamer and his Gamecocks. That was electric vibe at Williams-Brice. I mean, it looked amazing on television, and they got after
job.
It, man. They really did. And, you know, it was almost like running a single wing. They didn't throw it much, but the quarterback was amazing. Running backs were just high energy, and that's a physical Texas A&M team they were able to beat.
And Pitt lost. My point is there's only five undefeated teams that are left right now, Oregon being the number one team. And the reason why we're talking about this is tomorrow we'll get deeper into it because the College Football Playoff Committee is going to come out with their rankings. And what is this going to look like? Miami remains undefeated. BYU, Indiana, Army. You may not believe in any of those last three, but guess what? If they run the table, they're all going to be in the College Football Playoff. And that means somebody's not getting in. Now, I'm not talking about Georgia because I do think they're a playoff team. But, Mike, Ole Miss is a dangerous game. And as we turn the page from Florida this week to Ole Miss, which is going to be a 3:30 game, you're going to tell me Carson Beck can go out there and throw another three interceptions and they're going to be okay against that offense?
Right. I just think Bobo's got to rein it in. Now, look, I was saying earlier, one more thought about the Bobo stuff is maybe they don't run the ball as much because the offensive line just isn't as good.
Okay.
I mean, and this is an Ole Miss team. Orrin brought this up earlier. They've gotten more sacks than anybody, 42 in the big boy rounds. You know, they've lost some games. They got out physical by Kentucky. They did lose to LSU, but this is still a team that at home can get after it. So they've got to protect Carson Beck. I just say run the ball more. You know, I think it goes back to the old Bobo arguments of the old days under Mark Richt. Run the damn ball. You know, I mean, you got guys. I know it's not as deep as a running back room if ETN is banged up. And Kirby said it sounds like he's okay. But certainly, you saw Frazier. By the way, Frazier with the touchdown. That he did, don't do the throat slash.
No, that's not
it
good.
Was a gator chop into the throat slash. And, of course, you gave up really good field position on the kickoff.
Yeah, it was a dumb penalty. The irony of all of this, and it'll play itself out. But, for example, Alabama fans. You got two losses right now, and if Tennessee loses to Georgia, let's just say, remember, Tennessee beat Alabama. Mike, and one of these teams that are on the outside looking in may slide in, and you're going, Alabama, yeah, we got two losses, but, well, teams like Tennessee who would have two losses would be viewed in front of you
right.
because they beat you. That's why the head-to-head matters. And so those are the kind of scenarios that we'll be talking about as we move through this month. But guys, by the end of the month, we're going to know because we'll be to the SEC Championship first week in December. But there's a lot that's going to play out over the next 4 or 5 weeks here. And I can't wait to see what this committee says, Mike, about, all right, here's the 12. This is what we think right now.
Right. Like right now, I don't want to see Penn State anywhere near this thing because they're not going to do anything in it. Okay. I mean, okay.
They didn't do anything Saturday.
Franklin can't beat ranked opponents. He's 1-10 now against Ohio State. And all you're going to see, obviously, is ranked opponents in this playoff, which means Penn State, it's a one-way ticket to land. So, I mean, it just, and I get it.
How do you lose and you're inside of the five twice?
Well, when that running back couldn't get, when the running back couldn't get to the pylon, you almost felt like they lost that momentum because they ran it right. I mean, talk about unimaginative. Basically ran it up the gut three times in a pass play that had no chance of working. I know the Aller wasn't 100%, but still.
He played.
Franklin is, he just, and people, my wife's family's from up in that neck of the woods. Those fans are so over Franklin. And this was the year they were going to finally get over Ohio State. Look, it doesn't define their season unless they let it. They can still get in the playoff and make some wins. But who trusts Penn State against a top 10 team?
Nah, this was, again, supposed to be their year. And if you're telling me that if they got to play Georgia, even with the mistakes, right? And this is the thing. Can you say the mistakes are fine? I can live with those, and we're still good enough to win these big games. That's the part I don't know if is the case. Week to week has been different. When you get in this playoff, I don't know if Georgia's going to be able to overcome some of this stuff with their quarterback. Oregon has the best quarterback in the country, in my opinion, right now, in Gabriel, Mike. I mean, he's playing out of his mind. He's been consistent. But you can throw Cam Ward in there and some other guys. I just feel like when I look at Georgia – and I say, can they win with Beck under center? I have said for weeks now, and I've said this, and many of you have disagreed, and Mike even went further today with what he said. he's holding them back. And then today you said,
I don't think Georgia, I know Georgia is not going to win a championship with Carson Beck. I don't believe in him. You know, and I'm sorry to be too mean-spirited. I know that we had that poll last week. It was 50-50, and I don't know how many of the respondents were Georgia fans, but a lot of Georgia Bulldog Nation doesn't necessarily believe in Carson Beck. It's just the path that Kirby always chooses. You go with the guy who's got the most experience, and I don't know. I mean, you want to chalk it up to some of the stuff with the offensive line and all, and he's getting pressured. But that pick that he throws into double coverage, he's a veteran. I mean, I know it's college ball, Carl. He's got enough experience to know not to do that.
No, he's got to know. He's got to see that. And you know what? Again, I'd rather him throw it away. Sometimes I feel like he's forcing it just to make a point.
Right. Or just, you know, use your feet, man. Get five, get positive yardage and live to play another down.
All right, we're coming back. We've got one more segment before the coaches show. Hawks playing tonight. They won last night against the Pelicans, a big win. Boston is in town tonight. We'll get into that a little bit and get you ready for the coaches show and much more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great poll up at Dukes and Bell 929 as we've been asking you about what's going on with our Falcons at Dukes and Bell 929. Go check it out. What is the ceiling? And as far as the dogs are concerned, it is interesting, Mike, to see all the text and tweets. We call it Twitter, not X, coming in regards to how people feel. I will tell you, it is a mixed bag. It really is a mixed bag as to what dog fans think. I think these next few games, okay, and I know Mike says he doesn't have a lot of confidence, if any, right now with Beck and the way he's playing, even though they're winning. Could he change your opinion over the next few games?
Yeah, of course. I mean, just make better decisions with the football. I mean, look, we started the season with Carson Beck is going to be in New York for the Heisman Trophy finalists, and that's not even remotely close. Right now, if you look at, I mean, I know it's way, way too early, but if you go back and look at some of the mock drafts that are out there, he's not even in the top 15, you know, for the NFL. It's Shador Sanders, it's yours, there's a bunch of other players out there, you know, Ward down in Miami. But look, he can change all that. He's got to make better decisions with the ball. The difference in college football is Kirby doesn't have, like, five guys backing up the five great linemen. Like, check on the defense. You don't have, like, all the seven, the front seven. You don't have, like, another front seven that can start for everybody in the SEC. The NIL and the portal has really thinned teams out. So then you get down to a smaller margin for error for Kirby Smart and company. That means his quarterback can't be doing this stuff.
You guys can always hit us up. Let us know what you think. We're going to expand this conversation tomorrow. Make sure you're here and tuning in at 2 o'clock. We're getting ready for the coaches show. There are a few other things we need to talk about, including the Braves declining the $8 million option for Travis d'Arnaud. Now, they picked up the option for Marcell Ozuna, right? It was basically the exercise, is what it's called, the $16 million option for Marcell Ozuna, and declined the $7 million option for Luke Jackson. Okay.
And kind of, for lack of a better word, restructured, moved some money on Ronaldo Lopez's deal and on Bummer's deal to create some financial flexibility.
So should this be a concern for Braves fans when it comes to d'Arnaud? Listen, we know he is clutch. In these big moments, he hits a lot. And we love him. But they valued the added payroll flexibility at the beginning of the offseason. It doesn't mean that he's going to not be back. It just probably means, Mike, that he'll be back at a lesser number. If I decline your option at $8 million, that's basically telling you I don't want to pay you $8 million, but I may still want you back. Does he come back for six? Well, six and a half?
That's just it, because the idea of Sean Murphy, no! A guy's not even batting 200 as your primary catcher, not in part of a platoon. Murphy's brutal. I mean, literally, can't hit 200. I know that we talked real quick about some of the other guys, and we brought this up. Drake Baldwin would be the next big thing at catcher in the system. He can rake. I was talking to a couple of Braves fans today offline on the social media. Maybe if they're prepared to get him down at Northport and he can break camp and be ready to go. Or you just said, hey, Travis, we like you better at $5 million. And does he want to come back or does he retire? You know, we'll find out.
Yeah, he is a free agent.
He's so clutch, though. And in a year where you get no clutch and you're 7, 8, 9, he's one of those guys that plugs in and gives it to you.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, if you're just solely concerned about the defensive aspect of the catching position, that's fine. I think we need to be worried about the bat, too. The Braves have freed up $33 million for 2025, okay, with what they've done so far. Now you're saying, okay, well, where's this all going to go? I hope it goes to pitching.
Well, unless... If Morton's coming back for half of what he made last, or 12 mil, whatever the number is.
Sure.
You got Canning. He's an innings eater from the Angel you traded Soler for. Schwellenbach behind Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale. And Strider gets here when he gets here. And that's your starting five. I'm It's not the most attractive, if I'm honest. But you'd be eating some innings, and you know, Alex always seems to do pitching on the cheap or finds that great deal like Sale.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they're going to be involved with any of the potential top free agent pitching arms that are going to be available. But this is what they're trying to do, and this is what they've done. And so that is one of the reasons. If you say, well, wait a minute, Darnell's really good, it has nothing to do with that. This is more about, hey, we like you. We like you. You like us. But we need a little bit more flexibility, and so this is where we're at. If Darnell sticks around, Mike, and wants to hang around, maybe they bring him back for less, but he doesn't have to. And there may be teams right now that are like, we like Travis Darnell, and we like what he's become with the Braves, and he helped them win a World Series. We're going to go ahead and pay him $9 million or whatever it might be, and he may be gone.
He could platoon somewhere else because he showed you down in September. He still has some pop in that bat. We just talked about his clutch. So I hate to lose Lil D, who's been a huge part of this this Braves run of late, but I'm curious to see just where the money gets spent. We were arguing about Adames on Friday. They're not going to spend that money. That's ridiculous, but I still want to upgrade from Marcia if I can find it.
I get you. I have no issues with that. I just, you got to prioritize, right? And if you told me what makes our team better immediately at the beginning of the season next year, it is not upgrading at shortstop. That's not it. And that's what I think how they are thinking about this when they start to prioritize this flexibility with the payroll and where they're going. And by the way, when we say this, it's not like they're being cheap. Braves payroll, guys, we told you this. All these escalators in these contracts that they guaranteed back when, whether it was Acuna or Ozzy or Harris or all these guys they signed, everybody's making more money. So the payroll itself is coming up. Riley, they're still spending, but they have to have money to kind of still do some of the things they want to do here to start the offseason.
They were considered, I think, top three or four in payroll before they started making these money moves the last few weeks. So, again, salaries are coming. I'm saying coming home to roost, but you're going to have a little less flexibility. Hey, the other story today, guys keep asking us literally on the hour, what's going on with the edge rusher? Nobody here yet. Not sure we're going to do that. Well, maybe we'll be talking about a guy in the building on Wednesday. We're up there because the trade deadline is tomorrow. Za'Darius Smith. Still being talked about to the Lions. He is the number two. He'd be like the second banana behind Myles Garrett on the Browns defensive line. And the other name that keeps coming up with us, at least it's been linked to us, James Palmer, our buddy from NFL Network, is Azeez Ojulari from the Giants. They keep, at least stories about him, always have the Falcons mentioned with it.
Yeah. We will be all over this, by the way, tomorrow, if in fact something happens. So make sure you're tuned in throughout the course of the day, whether it's the morning shift or Stakey or Andy and Randy, because if anything breaks, we'll certainly be talking about it, and we'll be all over it. And then again, we'll be up there on Wednesday. So if something does happen, we'll get a chance to see that player, talk to him, whoever it's going to be. I just don't think it's going to be a splash move because those guys aren't available. But if you're telling me we can get a rotational player for little of nothing, Mike, that can help us and give us more depth on that D-line, I'm all for it.
Because even with the three sacks just and including two back-to-back, which was great with Ebiketie and with Grady, we're still dead last in the NFL in sacks. And, when you start to look at those teams that we would match up with in the playoffs, there's a kind of quarterback that, gives us trouble. Look, we beat the Eagles. We made some amazing moves. Eagles, we may see Jalen Hurts again. We're going to see Jaden Daniels later this season with Washington. And we know that we've had trouble getting those kind of guys like everybody else in the league on the ground.
All right, we got to get out of the way. Coach's show is on the way. Kate Nellis is the player segment tonight.
He was good this week.
He was. And then we've got Hawks basketball. Boston Celtics in town. Mike Conte will have the pre-half and post, of course. Holman with the call right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good win last night in New Orleans. Can they top that tonight against Boston? And if you're wondering, well, wait a minute, what about the Monday Night Football game? That's going to be on our sister station, WAOK, should I say.
Aye.
Tampa at Kansas City tonight. We are actually Kansas City Chiefs fans. We need them to beat Tampa because we lost to the Chiefs.
You like the Chiefs tonight, by the way?
I do, but this is kind of one of the, is it time for them to lose one of these?
Well, Baker, still doesn't have Evans, and, he doesn't have the best wide receivers in Godwin. They can rely on Otten at tight end, but still, you just feel the Chiefs will probably win this one. Maybe the under's the play. Win by six, by seven.
It's not a lot. I think Owen and I, Big O, were talking about this. I think it's 45 and a half or something like that, over or under. All right, man, we're back at you guys tomorrow. We got to get out of the way and clear our throat. Hey, tomorrow we are talking more Falcons with you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This team is in it. If anybody in your office or anybody else is telling you, we're in the mix. Torrey McElhaney is going to join us. We'll talk to Wes, the voice of our Falcons, and Lauren Williams, who covers our Atlanta Hawks, will join us as well, coming off this Boston matchup tonight at State Farm Arena. Big O, great job as always. Turtle executive producing. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Why is it dark outside? Oh, that's right, because we had to set the clocks back. Look, I get it. You don't want your kids at the bus stop in the pure darkness of 7 in the morning. We got to find some happy medium. They actually tried to run this up the flagpole of the Senate to just keep it where we don't have to move the clocks back. Because I'm going to be driving tonight. It's going to be wrecks. It's going to be demolition derby. Because no one's going to be used to driving in the dark. Why do we do this? Why? I'm not a farmer. I don't care if an extra hour is a daylight. I want some sun, man.
I'm with you. I hate this time of year. I just do. Hey, we lost Quincy Jones, 91 years old, the greatest music producer in the history of music. Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington, Snoop, LL, Sinatra, Tony Bennett. You want me to go on? I mean, it does. It reads like a list of who's who, including Sinatra and Chaka Khan
Michael Jackson.
I could tell you all these incredible things that Quincy Jones did, but all I can tell you is his legacy will live forever. And Quincy Jones produced, Mike, the greatest selling album in the history of the world,
right?
Thriller. You know when that album came out? 1982.
Mm.
Think about that. Rest in peace, Quincy Jones. You will be missed. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're a Cowboys fan.
Loser.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.